Vector 9. Making the cosmic forces your own. John 4:13-14. Anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst any more. The water I shall give him will turn into a spring of living water, welling up to life eternal. It is a living water, the living water of life. Now we know perfectly well that life existed before it created the body, and life alone is consciousness, and consciousness alone is life. And the consciousness that existed before it created the body exists in the body now and will exist after the body is dissolved into the substance out of which it was created. We all know the term, "No, you're not I, and the Father, and the Father is in me." And the terms, "I am the life." But it's difficult to explain these things to most people because they do not understand them. They accept them as something external to themselves. They accept them as an idea. They accept them because they read them in the Bible and they think the Bible is holy. And the Bible being holy couldn't be wrong. But that is a fallacy, because you can never read eternal life under the Bible. You will realize the Bible is paper and printer's ink. Majority of people do not know that the Bible is written by men. Therefore, they make the Bible holy. The only holiness that's in the Bible is the truth that can be revealed from the Bible. But you cannot take out of the Bible that which you haven't got. Therefore, it's what you have got yourself that you take out of the Bible. The majority of people only take out of the Bible their own conditioning because they take their conditioning to it. There is no such thing as any material thing holy. The only holiness is the livingness and the life within oneself. And when you begin to realize that, you will see that there is nothing holy except God, that livingness that's in man. The trouble is, then we were caught up in our beliefs, in our ideas. And because we do so, we have lost reality. We have lost that that is real. I am the life. An idea of I am the life is of no value to you. It becomes an idea in the mind. What's in the mind is not true. It's not real. It is only when you know what the mind is made up of, and you see it all clearly, then there comes the realization that which is beyond the mind, that which is created the body and the mind, that created the soul and body of man, existed before it was created, and will exist after it is dissolved away into nothingness, into the substance out of which it was created. When we understand that material things are made out of combination of ether and thought, that the world we live in is not separated from our thoughts, but we live amongst our thoughts, emotions. We can see clearly that denying the things that are harmful does not alter them. Only by understanding the cause can we free ourselves. We have been told that nervous conditions exist because we do not control the mind. But in our endeavor to control the mind, we are not understanding. We are merely holding the mind in subjection, which brings depression, which is the cause of nervousness through fear. So we say, unless you control the mind, you will have your nervous conditions. That's a fallacy. It's a stupid fallacy, because those people who advocate these things know nothing at all about it. If you're holding your thoughts in subjection, and trying to implant another one in its place, you think you have got rid of your original thought, the thought which troubled you, but you have not. You haven't got rid of it by planting another one in its place. You can only get rid of it by understanding it and how it comes about. Therefore, it itself disappears because it has no longer any power. But if you suppress a thought, You suppress it because it troubles you. And if it troubles you, then it has power over you. But if you then see that it has no power at all, except your own creation, then it falls away. The trouble is that most nervous conditions are brought about by trying to control your thoughts. Fear comes through not understanding the cause of our thought reaction. Is it not so that you try to control your mind because you're afraid of what your thoughts will produce? I remember a person came to me and they were afraid to think. Afraid to think because they believed that whatever they thought would be produced upon them, and they were afraid to think. What a dreadful state of affairs going around in this state. But they accepted that from a teacher who thought he knew. The trouble is that he didn't know anything at all. He didn't know that thoughts were nothing more than the expression of your own memories, your own conditioning, your beliefs, what you absorb from others. You can only think about that which you know. You can't think about that which you do not know. But when you do see all the things you know are your own creation, you will know how your own thoughts are produced. What is required is an understanding and pliable mind so that there will be an immediate discernment of right values. So you will see exactly what your thoughts are and what value they are. But you're caught up in your memories. You're caught up in your hates, your likes, your dislikes, your beliefs, your imitations. You're conditioned by them, and your thoughts will be according to your conditioning, will they not? Of course they will. Think now within yourselves, and you will see that your thoughts are built upon your conditioning. If you're conditioning by a society, conditioning by a religion, conditioned by any particular political idea, you're conditioning by the family, you're conditioned by this and conditioned by that, your thoughts will be in accordance to your conditioning. Now, when a thought rises then into your consciousness, into the physical consciousness, you become afraid of it. You think it is foreign to your nature. You couldn't think such a thing. But you not only thought it, you created it in your own mind. Why in your anger and your hates and all the rest of the things, and you could have stuck a knife into that particular person. You could have murdered that person. Yet when any thought rises to the surface with that sort of idea, oh, it couldn't be yours. Oh, no, it would be impossible to be yours. Therefore, you try to banish it because you're afraid of it, what it would produce. But if you discern it clearly, then you will see it can't produce anything because you know it's your own creation. And you extract the power from it, has no power at all. I remember when that person came to me, afraid to think, because she thought that her very thoughts would produce what she was thinking. Fear. Fear of our own thoughts. Fear of our own creations. Controlling the mind is an unnecessary effort which brings fear and limitation. Because the mind is dominated by an idea of an escape from your conditioning, which you fear. Think in your own mind the very things that you do fear. I had a friend once, his name was John Brennan. He was an Irishman, but a wonderful chap, very kind-hearted fellow, the very best you could ever meet. So I was at the dinner with him one night, it was a Friday. And we had finished dinner with champagne and all the rest of it, and drinks and whiskey and so forth, and he was quite happy. Well, of course, we had chicken. When the dinner was over, he said to me, "Mac," he says, "what day is it?" I said, "It's Friday." His face went as white as death because it was Friday and he had eaten a bit of chicken. How he conditioned himself. And I said, "Good God, Jack," I said, "it won't hurt you, a bit of chicken." I said, "what are you frightened about? It's Friday." So when I began to try and get him out of his terrible fear, of course, before he knew where he was in the lavatory vomiting, he was sick as a dog. This is what fear produces. He was conditioned by the belief that to eat the chicken on Friday was a terrible sin. It was a sin for some person, but not a sin for another. So it couldn't be a sin. Therefore, you see, he was conditioned by his belief. There are many people who are conditioned by many beliefs. But unless you see how you're conditioned, you're caught up in your belief, and you have the fear. Because conditioning brings fear. What happens is, when an idea comes into your mind, you want to brush it aside so as to escape from its influence. But how can you escape from its influence when it remains because it is not understood? When your thought is not understood or dealt with, without fear, without condemnation, you try to focus your attention upon a particular idea in opposition to your conditioning, thereby creating a conflict which is more harmful. You will see now that you are not thinking. You are caught up in a useless struggle which can never be created. This deadly thing, you put your head in your hand and you struggle and you squeeze yourself and you fear in such a way and your blood curdles. You go to bed weeping. The whole story is conditioned. But unless you see it, you're caught up in it. And it is to be wide awake. As I said again, there is nothing holy in the world except that which is true, that which is life itself, that which is beyond mind. Anything in the mind is not holy. What you read is not holy. The only thing that's holy is that which is beyond the mind. And when you discern everything that's in the mind, then you reach that which is truly holy and whole. Because to be holy, it must be whole and complete in itself. There can be no division in holiness. In wholeness, there is no division. To be holy, then, you must be undivided. There must be a realization of that livingness that is common in every individual. And in that livingness, which is in you and me, is the only reality. That is the holiness. That is God. Therefore, you think you're caught up in your thought. But if you do not know your thought and understand your thought, you're still caught up in your thought, are you not? But when you begin to consciously realize what your thoughts are, there is awareness comes that is not of the mind. An awareness comes that is consciousness. An awareness that belongs to consciousness only. And this consciousness, you try to fathom it, but you cannot. When you try to find out what it is, it's an impossibility, because consciousness will always be looking at something external to itself. It cannot turn upon itself and know what it is. Therefore, it is the unknowable. It is that which existed before the body was created and will exist after the body is dissolved into the substance out of which it was created. Consciousness alone, then, is life, because life alone is consciousness. They're synonymous. It is this awareness that makes you different from every living thing that exists on earth. It's the angelic power that existed in the beginning. It's the Word that was made flesh. When your thought is not understood or dealt with, without fear, without condemnation, you try to focus your attention on a particular idea in opposition to your condition, thereby creating a conflict which is more harmful. You will see now that you are not thinking. You are caught up in a useless struggle which can never be created. When ideas come into your mind, you should know them for what they are. Then you will not fight them or struggle with them. You look at them and discern their value. This is the true function of the mind. And with this function developed, there is no struggle, no fear, no limitation. Therefore, no effort to hide away something that does not suit you. Realize that you and your thoughts are one. When you try to separate your thoughts from yourself, and you say that they are different, there is the mistake. But the self is nothing more than your memories, your experiences, your beliefs, your conditioning. That is the self. But reality is not conditioned. It is only when you see what the self is with all its condition that you arrive at reality, arrive at that it is not conditioned. That your consciousness is then free. There's a freedom comes. Then you begin to know there is no fear, but there is creativeness. A consciousness that is creative. It is something that when you create, you are conscious of it. There is no opposite to it. There is nothing in your mind that is opposing it. Because you have seen already what the mind is made up of. Consciousness creates. It is God behind all its creation. Divine mind and divine ideas we do not create. We only create our own, which are conditions. But when we recognize these things, how and where we have been conditioned, then we reach the divine idea, which we do not create, but that is our livingness, the very God who lives in each and every one of us, is the livingness that is in common to us all. Unless we see that, then we are caught up in division, which is an illusion. A mind that is of value to one is one which there is no conflict, no strain. Where there is no such struggle, there is peace. You do not create peace. Immediately turmoil ceases, there is peace. Mental alertness through understanding our thoughts, our mental activity should be cultivated in our everyday life. Not merely at specific times for analysis, but to be aware always in the present. Then you will know what is happening. Anything that is contrary to our happiness and the happiness of your tellers, then would be a bad. So what do we generally do? We're caught up daily in our thoughts, feeling reactions. In our ignorance, we continue to think and feel according to our own conditioning. We try to protect ourselves, protect our conditioning against others who are conditioned, and you struggle. And by doing so, you create the very thing that you are struggling for, or struggling about. But if you are constantly aware of your own thought, feeling, reactions, what happens? There is immediate dissolving of these things, and you become freed. Now the mind and the body are one and the same. The body is but the sounding board of our thoughts and emotions. And if we will realize that, we will discern our thought, feeling, reactions, now in the present, then there will be no need for going into the past and trying and fathom and unravel the cause of your conditioning. If you are aware now of your thought, feeling, reaction, you will know immediately what is wrong. And therefore, being aware of these things, they fall away from you. Your own health, success, and happiness is secured through cooperation and understanding your fellow. And this can only be done when you understand yourself. Self-knowledge is the gateway to wisdom and truth. Most people who imagine they are spiritual are strained through struggle between good and evil. They imitate and are caught up in the conflict between right and wrong. True being is and comes when we discern the false. Then there is no need to imitate, to conform when you know the false. For then you know the false, you will know what is true. But if you crave for something, spiritual or otherwise, you will pursue your craving, which will lead to frustration, sorrow, and conflict. If I crave for that which is spiritual, I crave for something that seems to be outside myself. But if I see all that is not spiritual, then I arrive at that which is spiritual. Now, without struggle. But in my craving I struggle. Yes, the great saying, Son, all that is mine is thine. We were always together, and what is mine is thine. The majority of people, that is merely an idea. The words sound nice, and you will think, well, now I'll think what's God is mine. You see, all the time, you're caught up in your conditioning. How can it be so when you're still struggling, when you're still craving? But if you know what craving is, craving for something that is beyond yourself, if you knew that it was within you, it was really here now at this moment, you wouldn't crave for it. If a craving takes you away from it, when you see what craving is, you see all the falseness of the creation of your own mind. You will see then the opposites exist in your mind, the having and not having is mental. The rights and the wrongs and the hates and the pleasures and the joys are all mental. You hate one person and love another person. Why do you hate one person and love another person? Have you looked into your mind to see why you're there? You will find the answer. But true love is something that is so priceless. It's a livingness, and nothing can change. You may love a person today, tomorrow you may hate them. Why? Because they acted different to your conditioning. And in fact, your conditioning was the cause of your hates. But if you see what your conditioning is, you will strip yourself of all these things that are preventing the expression of that love. That love that knows no conditioning, that knows no fear, is never afraid. It's not loving one day and hating another. It's not loving one person and hating another person. Because if you love one person and hate another person, you can't be a loving person. Or if you are kind to one person and unkind to another person, you are not a kind person. Perhaps you think you're kind because you're kind to someone. But think how often you have been unkind to another person. Least you do unto one of these, so you have done unto me. Some think they can find the happy medium, a balance between good and evil. The mind then becomes a center of conflict. The mind is free only through understanding that good and evil grow on the same tree and has its roots, and that root is in man's mind only. It is the discerning what is made up in the mind and seeing that it has no foundation apart from man's mind. Therefore it has no foundation in truth. Truth is not made up in the mind. And what is made up in the mind cannot be truth. But truth is and is now ever present. A livingness that is yours and mine. Why is it then that this livingness is not giving expression to itself in freedom, in love, and goodwill? Is it not because of our divisions, of our beliefs, our separateness? It's easy to see the cause. But if you do not see the cause, then you're caught up in the cause. You cannot be free. Is it not a fact that our leaders today, all over the world, are immature? Why aren't they immature? Because they have not yet seen the cause of the misery existing in the world today. That's why they are immature. They're trying to settle things on the same plane. You try to settle the material suffering on a physical plane. What do? We bomb people. We destroy a town. We kill them one after another. We take all their food and burn everything they've got. And then we think that we can satisfy them by giving them other food and clothes. What a fallacy. Do you think that the mind can do it? The mind can't do it either, because the mind will be caught up in separation. The mind is still caught up in destruction, still caught up in fear, still caught up in the desire for security. And this desire for security causes you to do all these various things, and there is no security external to yourselves. There is none. The only security is in the love of God, in that livingness that is common with every one of us. That is the only security we have. We have no other. Truth knows nothing of good and evil, past or future. Truth is the living expression of life itself, every moment, moment to moment, in which there is no separation, no death, being eternal. In this ecstasy, there is infinite love and wisdom. Your actions will then be in accordance with your living in the present, always. And the rewards for such action are phenomenal. Jesus said clearly, it is out from the heart of man that evil comes. And when we look into the heart of man, we will see what is in his heart. And what is in the inner will be expressed in the outer. If his inner is fed with selfishness, if his inner is fed with separateness, with beliefs that are antagonistic to other beliefs, with nationalities that are antagonistic to other nationalities, with ideals that are antagonistic to other ideals, you will see clearly then the cause of your trouble. It comes from the heart of man that is conditioned. With this serenity, there is joy of living. There is no need to control or analysis, because you are aware of every moment. Thus you free yourself from all the virtues you think you should have or not have, which fills you with conflict, frustration, and fear. The person who tries to be virtuous is always antagonistic to others. Virtue comes through understanding yourselves and finding out that which is really true. When you are free from all that bundle of virtues, then there is no fear, no opposites. There is just love and wisdom, and in reality, that is all there is to be truly creative, love and wisdom. All other things are passed away. Your so-called virtues are a hindrance to the expression of the Christ consciousness. As long as you are caught up in false values of right and wrong, east and west, then there can be no realization of the one life in which there is no division, no time, no distinction, no opposite. When you grasp the true meaning of this, then your action will be pure action, in accordance with your realization of the One, and the One only. Then there is no reaction. When a person lives amongst you, there is always a tendency to react. There is always a tendency to despise. There's all the tendency to criticize. But when that person leaves this earth, that criticism and all the rest of it dies away. But yet that person is still alive. There is no difference 5 minutes after you're dead and 5 minutes before you are dead. You still contain your own conditioning in your mind. There's nothing such time if you pass from this earth plane still conditioned, you will still be conditioned when you leave it because it's in your mind. You take your mind with you. Don't think that you want to free yourself immediately after you leave the physical body. By no means. That freedom is easier, naturally, because you got rid of that physical organism through which you are thinking and feeling, which is in a slower and deader vibration. There is an expansion of consciousness when there is a release from the physical. But unless you know that release while you are in the physical, you don't know anything. And until such time as the mind is completely freed from all its stupidity, all its self-creations, knowing what it created itself is not the truth. Today there is a so-called spiritual revival, but those people are still as ignorant as they were before the revival, and they'll just be as ignorant after the revival is over. It makes no difference to the individual. In matter of fact, it can make no difference at all. It only makes them more bigoted and narrow. But true revival is the individual beginning to understand themselves, so they can see why they're antagonistic to others, why they hate others, why they kill others, why they despise others, why they criticize others, why they are hateful to this and hateful to that, why and how they are conditioned. That is true revival. Then they will reach the Christ, the true Christ, the living Christ, not a Christ that exists in your mind as an idea, but a living Christ that is in every soul. That living Christ was expressed by Jesus, the man who realized it. Christ is the Spirit of God manifesting in man. The Word that was in the beginning, that Word was God, and God was that Word, and the Word was made flesh. If you are continually occupied with the self, where there is attraction, repulsion, continual struggle, then the life that is free cannot be realized. You put yourself in a cage which separates you from others, and there is no relationship which brings true happiness. How are you going to understand yourself? The easiest way to understand yourself is through your relationship to others. How you react to what do? You treat them as a piece of furniture? Do you kick them about? Do you despise them? Do you use them for your own ends? There can be no relationship. But only true relationship comes when you see all these things that are preventing the true relationship between one another. That relationship is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is a true fact that your thought is limited by the lack of understanding of your true being now. To understand that which is limitless, unconditioned, your mind must not be burdened by the thoughts of self. When your mind is burdened with the conflict of ethics, you cannot realize the truth of your being. But if your mind is no longer bound by ethics, by virtues, by distinctions, by separation, by divisions, then you will comprehend what I mean by spontaneous action, free from reaction, free from time, free from separateness, in which there is no opposition. My word shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish that which is sent forth to do. Your word can never accomplish that which is sent forth to do when you're caught up in all these things. The word is free because the word is the word of the Spirit, consciousness of God in man, knowing what is false, has freed itself from all the falseness of the self, of all the hates, the separation that exists in man's mind. And in that complete unity that exists now, the word is spoken. And as the word is spoken, so it takes place everywhere. What do I do when people ask for help? Do I go to pray to a God somewhere that's outside myself? Oh, please, God, send help to so-and-so. That would be a stupid thing to do, but that's the majority of people. They're talking to a God that they have created in their mind, in some distant park, and they shout aloud, oh, please, God, do this and do that. What do I do? What does the Master do? He said, at this very hour, your servant is whole. Why? Because he was conscious in reality, that reality that exists everywhere, and there is nowhere where it is not. In your physical plane, you have a broadcasting station. Messages are sent out into the ether. The ether becomes magnetized everywhere, all over the earth, right to far in the stratosphere, right the way down in the bowels of the earth, right across everywhere, the whole of the ether is magnetized. The ether that penetrates through this table, the ether that penetrates through this wall, the ether that's everywhere is all magnetized with that vibration. And everybody can hear it at the same time all over the world. The very moment is no space. The person who really knows his true self exists in the spirit in which there is no space. And his very thought becomes spiritual and exists, and whatever he says, the Father does for him. That is the Father. The Father exists in his own perfectness. And in that perfectness, there is no evil, there is no sickness, there is no death. And in that state of consciousness, the word is spoken, and every portion of the earth and even the whole universe is responding to it. Yes, the stars exist. Many thousands of light years distance from us is experiencing the thought of the truly spiritual man, because there is no separation. There is no death, there is just life. Life, infinite life, in which there is no division, no separation. I wish the whole world could know it, could understand it. Then you would not be caught up in the revivals of any religion towards some other kind of religion. When I was in India, I saw these revivals. I saw people being trampled to death. Hundreds of them trampled to death. Because those people were encouraged through their emotions to rush to a particular shrine. And in the rushing to the shrine, they trampled those who were also rushing to the shrine. Thing that makes me see how wonderful it is when the man who is struggling towards the pool, the healing pool, and Jesus came along and he said, what is it thou art want? He said, they're all rushing to the pool to be healed. He says, but I can't reach there. But Jesus said, you don't have to enter the pool. The life is here. And if you believe now, you shall be healed. And at that very moment, the man saw, and he was healed. Oh, I wish that the world would know the truth that would set it free. But how difficult it is to release people from their condition. You will find it difficult when you talk to one who is really conditioned. And if you have been conditioned yourself, you will see how stupid you were. Look back and see. The reality that is only the present in man's mind is the past and the future. Therefore, to understand, we can only do so in the present and not in the past or the future. Therefore, this understanding cannot be postponed. Only when we free ourselves from false values shall we be enlightened. This requires discernment in the present of our motives, thoughts, reactions, which are of the mind. Then we will readily see that ignorance is not the absence of learning, but the confusion and conflict of values. You are confused, wondering what is right and wrong. Are you continue caught up in this conflict? Are you an imitator trying to mold your life after a pattern? Have you created an image of what you think reality should be, and you are carefully fashioning yourself after it, and thereby losing the substance of reality? If you imitate, by what means can you realize the enduring happiness of the ever-present life? Life is ever-present, life is not separation, but is unbounded unity. You cannot understand this when the mind is occupied with distinction, division, separation. Only by seeing the false can we realize the truth. Perhaps you will say, it is difficult, because in my daily life I see division everywhere. In my daily life, I see this and I see that everywhere. But the fact is, if you see it and you understand it, you will no longer be caught up in it. Even if it does exist, it has no reality. Is it not so? Only when you are ignorantly poor that you set up an authority to unworship it. You want to lean on someone because you are unequal to the task. You want to shelter in the comfort of an idea. This is not reality. It is but an illusion. Life is real. Life is the only reality. It is complete in itself, expressing itself freely. When the individual self becomes nothing, then reality can express itself. You can never know what it is, but you will know that it is real, and your mind will no longer be agitated by the worship of virtues, the horror of sin, nor will you follow the narrow path of ethics which prevents your understanding. God is not sinful. When we reach that reality, we will see it exists in the mind of man only, through his own divisions, separations, his hates, his angers. The secret is discerning the false. When you mold yourself after a pattern, there is fear. To be without fear, you must know yourself to be, understanding your vanities, jealousies, envies, cravings, longings, hopes, regrets, and fears. Fear disappears when you seek understanding free from the illusion of time. If we can perceive our emptiness and understand it, then we can dissolve the cause of our emptiness. Then there will be true understanding of life in the present, which is eternal. Then the ever-expanding consciousness will always be the reality, while all external to itself can be discerned with wisdom. It is the one infinite life that is ever expressing itself in love and wisdom, and in that life there is no separation. national division. Only when you limit its action through narrow, bigoted beliefs do you prevent its freedom in your own life, here and now. This separation in the mind of man is surely coming to an end. That specific current of light flowing from the supreme fountain of light itself, through majestic angels of the sun world, is now asserting its presence upon the earth, which it created. This light is charged with knowledge and understanding, heralding the new coming age of man's understanding. John 10:34-36. Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'?" The law said that they were gods to whom the word of God came. The scriptures cannot be broken. Do you mean to tell me, whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, 'I am God's son'? I am God. What a wonderful truth. Benediction, beloved life, thou art real to those who lose themselves in thee. When I expressed my individual self, I did not know thee, for I was caught up in the worship of virtue, the horror of sin, and was full of fear. When I perceived I was following a narrow path of ethics, a plan that led to emptiness, then from within me that silent voice spoke, in the very depths of my being, 'I am, and I am the only one, there is none other beside me. I live only in the present which is eternal, there is no other time, and thou art one with me. It is I who live in you, you live in me, and I live in you. Seek not virtue or reward, then my wisdom and love will be yours. I thank thee, O beloved one. I now know that life alone is